Hey guys, it's Chef Aaron 26. It's been one crazy week, obviously. Unbelievable to be called Super Bowl champions again. I mean, I think all of us were probably were on cloud nine on Sunday. Unbelievable to watch the network just gloss over us and just try to basically imply that they've known about us for years, which we know is a bunch of crap. Obviously, the devastating news, Vincent Jackson, and to say that he left a profound impact on the fans and the community alone would be an understatement. The man was an absolute treasure to the Tampa community and a treasure to military families, and he will be sorely missed. I know I've been a little emotional as a result of the news, and yeah, it's definitely a punch in the gut and a tough pill to swallow that we'll never be able to see who he ejects. And all we know is that he's in a much better place.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On. You will receive 20% off your next order. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that he and I are doing over at BucsNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DHarrison82, and at Bucs underscore Nation over at BucsNation.com. Of course, we have our daily free agent profiles every day from now up until the start of the new league year. David, you are running our Bucs Nation Reader Awards for various categories: Offensive Play of the Year, Defensive Play of the Year, Game of the Year, all kinds of things over there. So make sure you go check those out and vote on what you think the best of those categories are. And one more plug real quick, David, before we dive into the episode. The Pewties are up and available for voting. David and I, of course, back-to-back Podcast of the Year recipients. It's going to be a tough climb to make it three in a row because there is no longer a Podcast of the Year category. It is Content Creator of the Year, and there are some heavy lifters in that category. You got Mr. Bucs Nation, you got the Loose Cannons, of course you have the Pewtercast, you have the Pewter Report podcast, all those things. So of course we ask all of our wonderful and devoted listeners to head over to the Pewties and vote for Locked On Bucs for Content Creator of the Year. And while you're there, maybe vote for David Harrison for Guest of the Year, because that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it would. I don't see that happening, but that would be a huge honor. So go me.
Yes, go David. And also have to give a shout out. Maybe vote for wonderful friend of the show, Carmen Vitale, for Media Personality of the Year, because Carmen's awesome. You guys get to hear from her all the time on this show. And yeah, of course, we always support Carmen. But David, we got to go ahead and dive in to what's going on. Want to start off by thanking Chef for the voicemail. We will continue to play those voicemails of people speaking about Vincent Jackson, of course, the tragic loss of him. As more news comes out, of course, we will talk about it on this show. But people that want to reach out and kind of speak their mind about Vincent Jackson, we are always happy to play those. But David, some NFL news to kick off this episode. The NFL announced Thursday that a cap floor for NFL teams is going to be $180 million. They sent out a brief statement saying, quote, "As you know, one aspect of the agreements negotiated last summer with the NFLPA to address operations during the pandemic provides that the 2021 salary cap will be no less than $175 million. Following discussions with the union that addressed both actual 2020 revenues and projected attendance for the 2021 season, we have agreed to increase the minimum salary cap for the 2021 league year to $180 million. This is not the final salary cap for the 2021 league year, which will be set following review of final 2020 revenue figures and other audit and accounting adjustments. This agreement simply increases the minimum 2021 salary cap by $5 million per club from $175 million to $180 million. We will promptly advise all clubs as soon as the salary cap is set, end quote. So, David, you know, $5 million more minimum than anticipated. That could be enough for at least one guy, or I'll get into this in just a second, possibly three guys now.
Yeah, it's good news. I mean, it's $5 million, which on the grand scheme of things doesn't really sound like a whole lot of money, but it's still good news. You know, that the league and the owners are moving towards trying to make as much money as possible. I don't know, James, and I don't mean to spend other people's money, but I kind of look at the situation as this is a time where the owners need to kind of come together and say, look, we're going to take care of our league, we're going to take care of our guys, and we're going to go ahead with, you know, a quote-unquote normal increase of the salary cap despite everything going on, and, you know, kind of tuck that away in their back pocket for the next CBA bargaining, you know what I mean, kind of remind the players, like, hey, NFLPA, remember we did this for you guys back in COVID, so you know, let's pull out that credit now and kind of use that, because I mean, when you look at it, there's a lot of teams here. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, even with the $180 million floor, and granted, like you said, that's just the floor, are still in the red as far as salary cap space is concerned. The Titans fancy themselves a playoff team. They're in the red. The Vikings like to consider themselves challengers. They're in the red. The Packers are in the red. The Chiefs, the Rams, the Steelers are all in the red. And then, of course, New Orleans Saints are more in the red than anybody. So for a lot of these owners, it makes sense for the health of their own team specifically, and then they get the added bonus of saying, well, we did this for the players, and look how great we are, and look how generous we are, and unselfish and all that stuff. But then at the same time, if the players ever come back and say, well, you were able to do this before, why can't you do it now? They can say, listen, that was COVID. Like, there's never been anything like COVID in the history of this league. That was a special circumstance. So it's not even like something that they can be set as a precedence moving forward. So, I mean, it's really kind of a win-win for a lot of these owners. And really, if you're like the Jags, the Colts, the Jets, the Patriots, the Washington football team, you're the only owners out there not wanting to make that happen because you've got a pretty good amount of cap space as is. So you're kind of like, hey, no, we're good. Let's just keep it low. That's just kind of how I look at it. I mean, again, not to spend other people's money, but either way, more money is good for all teams, and especially for the Buccaneers trying to bring back their Super Bowl roster.
Yeah, I did briefly mention that $5 million could be enough for three players. Real quick, before we hit the first break, Greg Allman sent out a tweet thread on Thursday, gave a shout-out to fellow Bucs Nation writer Evan Winter for catching one of these items. But Greg said, quote, we had reported in December that two 2018 Bucs draft picks, Jordan Whitehead and Alex Kappa, had earned raises thanks to the NFL's proven performance escalator program. Some of you may remember that from Chris Godwin's raise that he got, which rewards non-first-round draft picks in the final year of their rookie contracts. Whitehead is actually getting a bigger bump than expected, and this is, he gives props to Evan Winter for catching this. He jumps from what was to be $920,000 in 2021 to $2.43 million. Alex Kappa jumps from $920,000 to $2.18 million. And Greg continued, what's more, cornerback Carlton Davis also played enough to trigger his own PPE bump. So he goes from $1.08 million in 2021 to $2.43. All told, those three will make $4.12 million more than they were scheduled to make, which cuts into the Bucs' available cap space. So that $5 million bump that the Bucs just got, it's going to players that have outplayed their contract. David, all of our listeners know how much we enjoy Built Bars. The coconut brownie is my wife's favorite. I love the peanut butter brownie. I love the cookies and cream. But now there's something new from Built Bar, and it's only available for a limited time. That's right. Built Bar is having a flash sale for the Coconut Puff Bar. Luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow made with premium collagen protein blend, 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 6 grams of sugar. It's gluten-free, preservative-free, and it's a limited time only. You got to order it now. Head to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you are going to receive 20% off your next order. You got to jump on this deal today for the Coconut Puff Bar. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com.
segment two here on Friday, wrapping up the week at the Locked On Bucks podcast. We're covering everything you need to know about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but what about the rest of sports? Well, now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Find James and I on Twitter, James at JRCo_Bucks. Find me at DHarrison82. I almost forgot my own Twitter handle. James, we had a little bit of an argument earlier this week, if you remember.
I wouldn't classify it as an argument, simply a disagreement on the view of potential.
Absolutely. Well, we've had some listeners decide to chime in. So we've got two voicemails specifically that I'm going to play in quick succession, back to back, from two of our listeners. So we're gonna let them chime in. I have not listened to these yet, by the way. So we're gonna listen to these in real time together.
I don't
see
believe
what
you.
They think. No, I really have.
I think you're only playing them if they agreed with you. Okay, that's something that listen, I would.
I will send you access to the Locked On Bucks Gmail account. You can go into the trash and all that stuff and find out for yourself. But anyway, let's hear from our listeners.
All right.
Hey, good morning, boys. This is Manny from Atmore, Alabama. Proud fan of the world champion, NFL champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Fire the cannons, baby. We are we're on top of the world. I was just listening to the show, and you know, I just wanted to say blessings to you guys, and thanks for doing what you do every day. The discussions, I'll never get bored of listening to you guys talk about the baddest team in the world right now. Just wanted to share, you know, the Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown, you know, deal, situation, issue, arguments, whatever we've been, you guys been discussing and so forth for several days. You know, to me, it's just kind of going backwards. I mean, I know that, you know, we won the Super Bowl, but man, it would be bittersweet to just really get back up there. And, you know, AB came through for us a few times this year, clutch catches. I mean, again, respect is given where it's due, man. But, you know, do you really think we need to go backwards rather than getting the new model, the newer model, you know, and CG, and, you know, it's just unbelievable to me that we even be an idea or a thought that when it came down to it, I would hope that it wouldn't be a rolling the dice type of a situation, man. I mean, I think that again, respect is given what we do, but Chris Godwin, man, I mean, there's no way that we can let that guy go, man. I mean, he is key for our success. You name it, everything about him, it has a lot to do with the fact that we won the Super Bowl. But man, the production, as you were saying, that he gives us, I'm sorry, it's not comparable. My humble opinion, I love AB and all that, but I love the Bucks, man, and I love the fact that we need to keep Chris in our roster, man, you know, with Mike Evans and the rest of the boys. Hey, be blessed, stay up, keep doing what you're doing. Bucks are the champs, baby, 2020. One, we're coming. Fire the cannons.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Brian Pittman. I'm from Orlando, Florida, a first-time caller. And I just want to let you guys know, man, huge Bucks fan since day one. I've been listening to the argument about Chris Godwin over Antonio Brown. Chris Godwin is by far the number one guy that we need to keep as far as offense goes. As far as Antonio Brown goes, I personally, as a Bucs fan, have loved more than anything how good Scotty Miller has looked. We can't look past that. Scotty Miller is next. He is always showing up, and he's always making big plays. I would like to see his stats versus Antonio Brown this year rather than Chris Godwin. Because Chris Godwin always shows up. They have to find a way to keep Chris Godwin. They have to, as far as this offense goes. The defense, I feel like they will find a way. You keep the Ndamukong Suh, JPP. Worst case scenario, we lose Shaq Barrett, and we bring in a pass rusher in the first pick of the draft. I don't want to lose him, but he may need more money. But we have to keep Chris Godwin. You don't draft a guy that late and he turns out to be that good and you just give up on him. You just don't do that. So hopefully you guys are thinking the same way. I love you guys, man. Man, this has been amazing. I've watched every video on the Bucks. So love you guys, man. Keep what you're doing. Love you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Manny and Brian, for some outstanding voicemails. And yeah, I mean, I don't want to lose Chris Godwin. I don't. And if I was a betting man, I would say that the Bucks are not going to lose Godwin. I'd say worst case scenario, he'll get the franchise tag. But what started all this was just the fact that I wanted to take a look at what if Godwin opts to chase the money rather than stay with the Buccaneers and try to go back to back. And, you know, so that's what kind of led us down this rabbit hole. But David, you have some numbers that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, well, they asked about Scotty Miller's numbers, and I love Scotty Miller to death. If you extrapolate his pre-AB appearance numbers out to a full season, then that projects out to 50 catches, 800 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And what Scotty Miller actually finished the regular season with was 33 catches, 501 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And I will say that his yards per carry before AB arrived were higher than – or yards per catch, rather not carry – were higher before AB arrived than his yards per catch after AB got there, but only by 0.8 yards. You know what I mean? So really not that huge of a difference. But obviously the pace that he was on catch-wise and production-wise was impacted by AB because AB came in there and he filled that third receiver role that Scotty was filling. But I would also like to say that, and this is going to be kind of in your defense, I suppose, that one of the reasons that AB came in was all the injuries that the Buccaneers were dealing with, and Scotty Miller was one of those injuries that they were dealing with. Scotty played against the Chicago Bears but didn't get a single target, and a lot of that was attributed to the fact that he couldn't get off the line the way he could before. He couldn't get that long distance speed going that he usually could before. So the fact that Scotty Miller actually was hurt kind of brought on AB. Now I do like the idea of them using Scotty in that third receiver role versus AB and letting him go, but I will say that Scotty Miller, generally speaking, not quite as versatile as Antonio Brown is, I think, even in today's form, but he could become more versatile. And you know, BA has said this before too. The only way for players to get better is to get reps. If AB is still there, Scotty gets fewer reps. He develops slower. I mean, so that's just the balance they're going to have to determine on whether or not it's worth it to develop Scotty further and keep AB around.
Yeah, and I will also say, like, you take a look, you know, Scotty Miller, 16 yards per catch pre-AB, 15.2 post-AB. Antonio Brown's yards per catch was 10.7. But if you go back, you know, Antonio Brown wasn't running a lot of deep routes. That was more of the Scotty Miller. AB was kind of the move the sticks guy for quite a few weeks. He did have, you know, a couple of deep shots here and there, but not quite as many as we were used to seeing in Pittsburgh. Is that because he might have lost a half a step, or was it because, you know, he was still getting acclimated and it was more of a, hey, you have some solid hands, we just need to move the sticks and keep driving the ball? Not really sure. Time would tell if he comes back next year. But David, we do have one more voicemail that we have to get to from a good friend of ours.
James and David calling in the big guns to break up this 1-1 tie in the Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown debate. Look, I understand how it goes. You got to call me in to break up this little spat and try to decide a winner on this one. And I'll try not to be swayed by the fact that James threatened never to talk to me again if I didn't pick his side. Try to keep that out of my mind as I'm going through this. But I honestly see both sides of it. I see the production that AB brought to the Bucks down the stretch and in the playoffs was fantastic. The Bucks definitely needed it. And the idea of paying him a third or a quarter of what you'd pay Chris Godwin next year, it sounds great. And you would expect to get a pretty good season out of Antonio Brown, even in his age 33 season. But at the same time, you know, Chris Godwin, he's 24 years old. I still think he's entering the prime of his career, and he's been on this upward trajectory over the last few years, and I don't know that you want to let that walk out the door. So I think I'm going to have to go with David on this one. I just think, like David said, you know exactly what you're getting with Chris Godwin. You know you're getting a great steady guy that's going to make the catches. He's going to be able to do a lot of things for your offense and produce at a high level. And AB, I think, you know, he did good things down the stretch, but we don't know what he's going to offer over a full season. He's getting up there in age. He's not the prime AB that was back there with the Pittsburgh Steelers during, you know, those Hall of Fame worthy years. And not saying that, you know, the Bucks wouldn't make it work and Tom Brady wouldn't make it work. I just think, like David said, I think the drop off is pretty significant from Chris Godwin as the number two to Antonio Brown as the number two. Again, they could make it work, but you know we'll have to see if they make it work if they can't get something done with Chris Godwin. Should be interesting to follow this offseason. I appreciate you guys having me on to break up the tie and give my thoughts on this. So, sorry, James, I'm going with David, and y'all have a great show.
Bailey, let's see if you get any more Christmas gifts from me after you stab me in the back in such a public fashion. But I'm not advocating for Chris Godwin to leave. I'm not. I just simply was trying to point out the business aspect. That's all.
Yeah, Bailey, we appreciate you coming in. That's why you're my drinking buddy.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate the other listeners who also called in as well. We're going to continue to have some fun conversations during the offseason like this one. And I'm sure that James has some W's in his future as well. And we're going to continue to talk about these topics because of friends like those of you who called in, but also the people over at betonline.ag who want to remind you that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, because football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, the NHL are still here. Major League Baseball is right around the corner. But BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and prop bets on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds you need. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Use your computer or your mobile device to sign up for free today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast, sending you into the weekend in a fantastic fashion. And although 2020 is mercifully over, it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast. David, you gave me homework, and I don't appreciate it.
It is what it is. Listen, when you have as many wins as I do, you get to make those decisions.
Do we need to go back to our
your spicy Cheeto Bowl predictions during the season? No, we don't. Let's stick on topic, James.
And I was going to bring up our offensive and defensive, or our best and the worst of the weeks that I continuously.
Yeah, that's because you think inside the box. I think outside the box. People are more comfortable with inside the box. I get it. I don't hate people for it. It just is what it is. I think on a different level, which also could be considered weird, which is what my wife calls it. But anyway, James, did you listen to the Thursday episode?
I always listen to the Thursday episode.
Fantastic. If any of you out there listening to this episode today did not listen to that Thursday episode, please do so. One, because I'm on and I think that I'm great. But also, two, the content of it was rather discussion building. It stirred up some reactions on Twitter and in the voicemail line and from James, hopefully, here, if he actually did his homework, which he says he did. But James, before we get your reaction to that question, just to recap it real quick, a report came out that the Panthers are considering shipping 3 first-round draft picks and possibly Christian McCaffrey to the Houston Texans in exchange for quarterback Deshaun Watson. And the reporter who reported that made the unfortunate mistake of comparing doing that to the way that the Buccaneers brought in their quarterbacks, solved their quarterback solution, and then subsequently won a Super Bowl. I went ahead and basically debunked that entire concept of that movement or that transaction being similar to what the Buccaneers did. Hopefully James agrees with me. If not, we'll get into that conversation and Bailey can come and say that I'm correct again. But before we get to James, We did have a voicemail that I'm going to get to right now. And so let's hear from our caller.
Hey, James and David, this is Irv from South Carolina. I'm calling to answer your question about the trade of Mike Evans, Vita Vea, Devin White, Antoine Winfield Jr. I believe that would be a H-E double hockey stick. No, that would be one of the stupidest things that the franchise would have done. And I've been listening to you guys all season, just to put that in there.
All right, Irv, we appreciate the phone call. And yeah, going back to it, guys, again, if you haven't listened to it, please go back. But just to recap, 3 first-round draft picks, right? Well, if the Buccaneers had traded 3 first-round draft picks for Tom Brady, that would have been Devin White, Vita Vea, and Tristan Wirfs. And then you trade your best offensive weapon, which I guess could be negotiable, but I went ahead and threw Mike Evans in there. So you're talking about Vita Vea, Devin White, Tristan Wirfs, and Vita Vea in exchange for Deshaun Watson. That was the question. James, we also got some Twitter reactions to this question. So real quick, this was the Twitter reaction we got from Matt in Morven, Georgia.
Hell to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no. Hell to the no, no. To the no, no. To the no, no. Hey.
All right, so that was Matt from Morvin George's reaction.
I expect nothing less.
To the question, and then Joshua Gardner also responded and said, you must be out of your mind if you trade the farm for Deshaun Watson. Absolutely no way that Watson would be worth those picks because Carolina isn't that close. So, James, that was Bucs Nation fulfilling their homework assignments. I say they get A-pluses across the board. Did you do your homework for one, and what do you think about the question?
I did my homework. And look, I'm going to try to make this brief because I know we're running out of time. Trading those four players for Deshaun Watson might be worse than the Odell Beckham Jr. trade that was proposed from some chucklehead from Factory of Sadness. However, I will say this. If Tom Brady were to retire tomorrow, keeping this Super Bowl champion team intact, minus Tom Brady, I would say it would be worth the phone call to potentially send multiple first round picks of the future to Houston in exchange for Deshaun Watson. I find Deshaun Watson to be an absolutely outstanding talent. And I think if he were inserted into this team as is now, they could make another run at a Super Bowl. However, the Carolina Panthers are not built like the Buccaneers are right now, especially sending Christian McCaffrey over as well. But if you're telling me that the Buccaneers would send future first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, should they need a quarterback, which we know that they don't, I would say it would be smart for them to make that phone call. But no, I would not give up Mike Evans, Tristan Wirfs, Devin White, and Vita Vea for Deshaun Watson.
Right, and that was kind of the point of this exercise. So if you compare the Panthers to the Buccaneers, you really do. You kind of have to go back 3 years ago.
Right.
3 years ago, the Buccaneers are, or were, where the Carolina Panthers kind of are right now, right? They have a newer coaching staff. They have a lot of missing pieces on their roster. They have a quarterback that they don't necessarily believe in 100%. So making a move like this, trading your next three draft picks and your best offensive player, doesn't make sense because, yes, you're going to get Deshaun Watson, but you're not going to get anything else for quite a while. I mean, you could hit on some second-round, third-round draft picks, granted, okay, but you basically have to. Like, if you're the Carolina Panthers, you make this trade and you get rid of Christian McCaffrey on top of it.
And he's no better off than he is in Houston.
Right. Not only could you – yeah, no, exactly. But not only could you hit on your second or third-round draft picks, you have to hit on your second – like,
yeah.
No longer do you have that wiggle room, that option. You absolutely have to make it happen, and that is almost impossible to ask of somebody, no matter how talented or how long they've been in the business. But you talk about now, like, if Tom Brady retired today, would you trade your next three? Would you trade your 21, 22, 23 first-round draft picks for Deshaun Watson? You say, yeah, you have to at least have that conversation. I could understand that because, again, if you have the chance to win another ring with this roster intact, you kind of look at what the Los Angeles Rams did making that trade for Matthew Stafford. They didn't have the draft capital that Houston's going to want for Deshaun Watson, so they take their draft capital, they scan the market, and they say, who do we have the draft capital to go get? They go get themselves Matthew Stafford. Whether or not it works or not, I don't know, but it's the best shot they had right now with the roster they have intact to make a push for the Super Bowl because – the Cooper Cups of the world, the Robert Woods, the Cam Akers, the Aaron Donalds, all those guys, they're not keeping that roster longer than two or three more years max anyway. Like, 2 or 3 years from now, the Los Angeles Rams are basically going to be in a reset mode where they're replacing a whole lot of pieces anyway. So go ahead and spend the draft capital now. Yeah, I totally agree with that. However, James, let me ask you this since you brought it up. If Tom Brady retired today, which, knock on wood again, but that doesn't happen, would you trade those next three first-round draft picks, 32 this year, 2022, 2023 first-round draft picks, and Mike Evans, if he is that quote-unquote top offensive player, for Deshaun Watson?
I would strongly consider draft picks. Mike Evans being part of the deal, it's a no-go.
And that's really what kind of took me by surprise. Like, not only – and again, this isn't a blogger, right? Like James, you and I take what we do pretty seriously, and we have been credentialed – from the Bucks, the NFL, you know, Reese's Senior Bowl has credentialed us. We've done things in the journalistic world that we're proud of, and we don't feel like we're the guys that would go to Super Bowl Media Day and take selfies with Bill Belichick. there are guys out there like that in the blog and podcast world, but we feel like we conduct ourselves professionally, right?
Yes.
This person is not even a blog. He's not even a blogger that takes it seriously. He's not even a podcast. He works for ESPN. Like, he is the Jenna Lane of the Carolina Panthers beat. You know what I'm saying? So it surprises me that he would say this, and I don't know if it's attached to actual information. The way I read it, it kind of seems like it's attached to actual situation. I hope it is, because for his sake, it just sounds insane. But if Matt Rhule, if the Carolina Panthers front office, if they let Christian McCaffrey out the door with 3 first-round draft picks for Deshaun Watson, I don't see how Deshaun Watson doesn't veto that trade anyway, because like you said, I think he's in a worse situation. He's not in the same situation. He's in a worse situation in Carolina if that happens than he is in Houston. So I don't see how he doesn't veto that trade. Honestly, it may be a situation where Houston says, look, dude, this is the only trade that's on the books that we're willing to take. So it's kind of take it or leave it. And he's just like, you know what? I want to be rid of you so much. I'll go do it and I'll deal with Carolina on my own, because then Carolina doesn't carry in the dead cap space with him. So like, if a year from now or 2 years from now, he's sick of them, he can basically say, look, you need to release me and let's just let bygones be bygones. But I can't, like, if the report was Carolina was thinking about sending 3 first round draft picks for Deshaun, I'd be like, okay, I don't think they're in the position to do it. I don't think it's smart for them to do, but you know, got it. I can see the allure of it. But also sending your number one target, because not only is Christian your number one running back, he is really your best pass catcher. Like, everything that DJ Moore does is affected in some way, shape, or form by what Christian McCaffrey presents to that defense. I can't make heads or tails of it, man.
Yeah, it just makes no sense at all. But hey, if they want to ship off 3 first rounders and Christian McCaffrey, then Bucks fans rejoice, because it's going to be a fight for last place between them.
Good news for everybody else in the NFC South.
So, all right. Well, David, we are out of here for the weekend. Thank you again to Chef, Manny, Brian, Irv, and Not Bailey for sending in those voicemails.
Real quick, James. Sorry. I love that we're hearing new voices. And yes. Especially I love that we're hearing new voices in the offseason. Like, you almost expect to hear new voices during the season. And we have grown steadily throughout the season, throughout the years. And we're up to tens of thousands of listeners, and that's what's the amazing part, is we have tens of thousands of listeners. I never thought we would actually get to that point, but that we're hearing from new voices, because I mean, out of those listeners, we only hear from less than 1% of that population. You know what I mean? We love all the people we do hear from, obviously, but shout out to the new voices as well, and especially because we want to hear from all of you. Like, if I woke up tomorrow with tens of thousands of voicemails, I would probably have a heart attack first, but once I got out of the hospital, I would absolutely celebrate, because it would be the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah, it's great to hear all these new voices. It really is. And we hope you guys continue to keep calling in. But please check out everything that David, Benedict Bailey, and I are doing over at BucksNation.com. Send your voicemails to 813-444-5841 or record a voice message on your phone and email it to lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you are heading over to thepewtercastawards.com and voting for your favorite content creator, the Locked On Bucks Podcast. While you're there, vote for David Harrison and Carmen Kelly. That would be awesome. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.